united in spirit and intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves.
Good evening. If you would, let's all start.
Bring the world with his great mind.
Set aside to come together and worship you and forget about our daily lives and focus on you and your son. Lord, we petition you on behalf of the number of our congregation here that were sick. We pray namely that you be with the friars, be with the lambs, and you be with the Davises and all those who have ailments. I pray that you be with them and be with their doctors, that their health would be restored if it be your will. Lord, as a congregation, as the shepherds have set a theme or a plan for us to move forward, we pray that you'd be with us as a group and that our desire is to better serve you and become better stewards of what we have. We pray that as individuals, when we fail, the Lord, that you'd help us and forgive us of our sins, and help us to get back on course to glorifying you. Lord, I pray that you be with us throughout the service and help us to focus on the words of the songs we sing and to think about their meaning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. This may be a new song to many, so we're going to sing the first verse twice. And on the first time, we'll just sing it in unison, and it's just a melody line, and we'll break into parts. Holy is the Lord. Holy.
you would, please open up to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. I am a proud but unfortunate Dallas Cowboys fan. I am also a proud, yet again, unfortunate Texas Rangers fan. If you're familiar with the sports world, you understand my pain. If you are not familiar with the sports world, this past year has required me to exemplify a lot of patience and a lot of optimism. My father and I enjoy watching games together, whether it be at the home or at stadium. And my father is a great man, but he is also the family pessimist. He's the kind of guy who stands a foot from the television, arguing with the coach, and those arguments usually end up in us purchasing a new television. Imagine if you have nine pessimistic baseball players on a field. They're down by two runs in the eighth inning. That team's not going to win that game. And they're not going to be successful. So how do we become successful as Christians? In the dictionary, the second definition underneath the word optimism is the belief that good ultimately predominates over evil in the world. Now, to me, optimism and perseverance come hand in hand. Take Paul, for example, in Acts 14. We'll start reading in verse 1. In Iconium, they entered the synagogue of the Jews together and spoke in such a manner that a large number of people believed, both Jews and of Greeks. But the Jews who disbelieved stirred up in their minds of the Gentiles and embittered them against the brethren. Therefore, they spent a long time there, speaking boldly with reliance upon the Lord, who is testifying to the word of his grace, granting that signs and wonders be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, and some sided with the Jews, and some sided with the apostles. And when an attempt was made by both the Gentiles and the Jews, with their rulers, to mistreat and to stone them, they became aware of it and fled to the cities of Lycaonia, Lystra, and Derbe, and the surrounding region. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Now, here we read that Paul has been teaching in Iconium and has had both positive and negative influence, but he is persistent. And now in Lystra, he has been, we read in verses 8 through 18 that he has been decently persuasive, but is still having some trouble. So let's jump down to verse 19. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered that city. The next day he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. And after they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, Paul's been somewhat successful, like I said, in Lystra, but the Jews who disbelieved, back in verse 2, followed and found Paul and stoned him within inches of his life, even so that they thought him to be dead. Can you imagine being physically beaten bad enough to be seen as dead? How quickly would we throw in the towel and say that there is no way that these people will accept the word of God? I probably would have quit with the verbal threats in Iconium. To think that this beaten and stoned man got back up and went into the city where the people were staying that stoned him is absolutely incredible. The optimism shown by Paul brings shame to me. How often do the slightest things discourage us? Many say that the optimist sees the glass half full and the pessimist sees it as half empty, but I disagree. I think the optimist sees it as half empty, but then quickly finds a way to fill it. We are called to be workers of the Lord, and if we become so discouraged by the people of this world, we are going to let the ball roll right by us. If you have found yourself to be discouraged and you need our prayers, let us know. If you are trying to fill your cup and feel the need to be baptized, we would love to make that happen this evening. If you would please come forward while we stand and sing.